Morning, 809 News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us as he does most Mondays. Sometimes it's a sheriff, but most of the time it's Chief Deputy Shane Tucker from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Well, good morning, Andrew. Good to talk to you again.
Always good to talk to you. So one of the cases that caught my attention from last week was the Pace man that allegedly had this minor out of Arkansas staying in his home with I generally try to – there's a lot of cases involving children and harm, and I generally try to stay away from them just because there's so many, and I get – it just bothers me a lot. But this was kind of in the news a little bit, so can you tell me what's going on here?
I can, and you know, Andrew, this was a disturbing case, not so much because of the egregious nature of it. I mean, indeed, it was egregious, but honestly because it's so common. This is the kind of stuff that happens just every day in this nation and quite often here in the Panhandle. But we got contacted by an agency out of Arkansas expressing some concern that a missing juvenile from their jurisdiction could possibly be in danger in our jurisdiction. So we did a little digging around. Our deputies did some investigation, and they actually located this 14-year-old child in the home of a 32-year-old Pace man. Now, it appears that they most likely met on some type of social media platform, and potentially this man went and picked this child up from her home in Arkansas. The suspect was arrested, charged with interference with child custody as well as lewd and lascivious battery on a victim under the age of 16. But again, the disturbing part is not just the nature of it, but it's how common it is.
You know, I remember going back to the Cleveland, I think it was, the House of Horrors in Ohio with these three women, and, you know, and mm-hmm. those weren't minors, but, you know, and this is, and we had the other case a couple of weeks ago. I don't want to believe that my neighbors, that any of the people that live anywhere near me could be involved in something like this. But, you know, we walk our streets, we take walks, you know, almost every day, my wife and I, and we know most of the neighbors. I just don't want to believe this is going on everywhere. And you're telling me that this, among other things, is something that we all have to keep our eyes out for.
We do. And, you know, to put it kind of in this perspective, you know, 20 years ago and going back beyond that, a child predator had to leave his home to go find victims. Now they can do it in the comfort of their own home, you know, thanks to the internet and social media. And that's what many of them do. Rather than run the risk of getting caught out on the street, they find their victims from the comfort of their own home. And when they feel like they've got one, that's when they actually leave to go get one.
So parents that are listening to this, and not just citizens who are concerned about other people's kids, but parents who are concerned about their own kids, I know we've talked about this many times, but I never want to stop saying what people ought to be doing because it's what they need to hear until they start doing it. What do parents need to do?
Well, you know, honestly, in my opinion, Andrew, you need to think of your computer, your internet access as a firearm, a completely legitimate item to have and use, and the benefits are innumerable. But you would not let your child play with a loaded firearm unattended. Neither should you let your child play on the internet unattended. If you have children in your home and internet, you need to know what they're doing, when they're doing it, and with whom they're doing it. The internet is no safer than a loaded firearm for an unsupervised child.
Wow, that's about as frank as anybody's ever said it, and that's a great analogy. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Anything else that happened last week that you wanted to talk about? I guess there was an odd sort of ramming and kidnapping or something case that took place, too?
There was. Our deputies responded to a neighborhood in the Milton area after we received a report of a possible kidnapping that had followed the intentional ramming of one vehicle by another. When the deputies arrived, they discovered that a female had been forcefully removed from one of the vehicles after it had been rammed by the suspect. And it wasn't. But a short time later, we were able to learn the suspect had actually taken the victim out of the original vehicle and changed vehicles. So we started boloing for the new vehicle and ultimately located it a short while later, and we were able to arrest the suspect without incident. Now, after we made contact with the suspect, it became clear that the two were actually married at some point recently. However, the victim did not consent to go, and so the suspect was charged with aggravated battery and kidnapping.
Wow. Where did this all happen?
In Milton.
Okay.
It originated in the skyline area of Milton, and the resolution was in East Milton.
Okay. Wow. Well, all right. Last question I have for you, and it's not necessarily a current event, but it is something I've been kind of curious about. With the construction of the new courthouse and the transfer from the old one to the new one eventually, I'm just kind of curious what Santa Rosa County Sheriff's perspective is on that facility. And frankly, have you guys been invited to be involved in the design and the parameters of how that's going?
Oh, certainly. Good question. Some of our input, as a matter of fact, a lot of our input has been necessary for the actual design and the layout of that. You know, the court security, which works out of the courthouse, is staffed by deputies with the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office. So their input was necessary for a lot of the issues involving the security. You know, what we look for, the changes, any change that makes our local criminal justice system operate more smoothly and more efficiently is going to pay dividends for us. You know, if we can get cases moving in a more expedient manner, then perhaps we can keep some of the population of our jail out. We can get some people out of the jail that don't necessarily need to be there.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a good thing. You know, one of the other side of that, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just something we're going to have to deal with, the larger the courthouse, the quicker the operation, we're going to have to put more deputies in the courthouse than we have now. But that's, you know, that's something, that's a price we're definitely willing to pay for some increased efficacy, certainly.
All right. Do you even yet have a notion on that staffing increase target, or is that something still to be figured out?
I don't have anything concrete.
Okay.
But just preliminarily, I would a ballpark that I would venture to say we're probably looking at maybe 3 additional deputies.
Okay. Well, I mean, they're everywhere and they're easy to find right now, right?
Oh, absolutely. We just got people tripping over themselves to be deputy sheriffs.
All right, but these are the realities. And as you say, a worthy trade-off, but still, you know, that's going to carry its own wrinkles. Chief Deputy Shane Tucker with Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, always a pleasure. Thank you for the information. Thanks for keeping us safe, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Andrew. Take care.